Reading will be taken from Revelations chapter number 1, starting at verse number 5. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests, serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen."
Amen.
Now I just want you to turn to your neighbor. You ain't got to touch him, but look at your neighbor and make eye contact with him. Look him square in the eye. Don't point at him. Look him square in the eye. Look him square in the eye and say, "Neighbor,
who are
you?
Neighbor,
who are you?
Who are you?"
Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "Who are you?" Can I just talk to you for a few minutes this morning? Tatiana, I know you work with the Democratic Party and working with President candidate Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine. But I want you to know, even as you're there and as you travel around, one of the things that you will see as you ride around and visit people in our country, one of the things is that you're going to know, which I'm not telling you something you don't already know. There are some people that we deal with, Elaine, that have an identity crisis. They have such low self-esteem. They aren't motivated to do anything. They give a tremendous amount of attention to the obstacles, quote unquote, problems. And that's all they do. Now, if we were to ask those individuals, "Who are you?" I wonder what kind of answers we would get. Deacon Booth, if I was to ask the same question to folk in church, I wonder what kind of answers would I get? Would it be similar, because we have folk in church who are dealing with low self-esteem? Would the answers be similar, because we have some folk who are dealing and have situations but aren't motivated to do anything about them? Do we have folk who are in church, Deacon Aldridge, who spend so much time dealing and talking about the problem, quote unquote, obstacle, that nothing happens? But I want you to see something that's really interesting here in this book of Revelations. See, I know we ain't scared of the book of Revelations no more, because we did that in evening Bible study. And I know some folks say, Revelations, it's the word of God. And when you look at verse number 1, it tells us that in verse number 1, it specifically says the revelation of Jesus Christ that was given to him by God the Father. So if the Lord is unveiling and revealing things to us, it's never to cause us to be afraid, but to be inspired, to be encouraged, to be healed and delivered.
Amen.
That's what the word of God does for the people of God. And it tells us that this revelation was given to the Son from the Father. And now Jesus is giving this revelation to one of his disciples, John, who was at this time on the island of Patmos. He was in exile, all because he was proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want you to know that if they threw him on an island for talking about Jesus, don't get mad if folk try to isolate you. Because you know that all you're doing is letting folk know that you got the answer. You know who can heal. You know who can deliver. You know who can turn a life around. And his name is. See, that's all that is going on. And as we're seeing this revelation Jesus was giving to John while he was on this island of Patmos. And as he is on this island, he tells him in verse number 4, you can go and look at it for yourself. He is telling him to write this to the seven churches in Asia for the sole purpose of letting them know. They need to know who they are. The one thing that we have to understand is that Jesus doesn't want the children of God to have an identity crisis. We need to know who we are. We ought not to suffer from low self-esteem. We ought not to throw in a towel. We ought to be motivated to work through whatever the problems are. We ought to be a people that don't focus on what's wrong, but focus on the God who can get it right. So as we're seeing this, the purpose of this scripture is to let these seven churches know you got work to do. But in order to get the work done, you must know who you are. But I want you to understand something. I want you to know that you and I are defined by who we associate with. How does the term go? Birds of a feather, Reverend Rose, they what? That's one of them old terms, Angel. I know y'all still heard that one, though, right? You see, what we got to understand, that people are always trying to see who you associate with, because who you associate with defines who somebody going to work with. So what we're seeing here in verse number 5 is that John, who's told by Jesus that this is what you need to let them know about who I am, because they are defined by who they are associated with. So what we learn in verse number 5, it tells us in verse number 5 that we are, it says, and from Jesus Christ. Now, who is Jesus? A faithful witness. Do you understand something? That whenever Jesus speaks, I want you to know whatever he says is faithful. Whatever he does, it makes a difference. And Jesus came to be a witness, to let us know what the Father has in store for those that believe in him. And he says, if you remain faithful, you can see what faith is by just looking at Jesus. Because I want you to know, he was faithful all the way to the cross. He never went left. He never went right. He continued to walk by and not by. You see, my brothers and sisters, that's why he is the faithful witness. You know how some folks say they can tell you what they saw? But you look at them, you say, oh, they're about to get ready to tell a lie, digging the hellwood. You know, when they look at, oh, Lord, I know you ain't no faithful, and you're about to tell a lie. But when it comes to Jesus, he's a faithful witness. Because if he tell you about it, you know that it's going to be true. And like I'm taking an old country term, you can put your foot on it. Because he is a faithful witness. And he's not just a faithful witness. You know what he also is? He is the firstborn of the dead. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that, don't you know, when Jesus came here to walk on his earth, he knew that he came and was going to be crucified for doing the will of the Father. But he did it willingly, understanding that he was making the ultimate sacrifice for the entire world. Because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, when you look at what Jesus has done, he's the firstborn from the dead. Why? Because don't you know, when they killed him, they thought they had him, Deacon Rosa. When they killed him and put him in the tomb and put the stone in front of the Kearney, they said, it's all over. You can tell the fat lady to go on and start singing, because he ain't coming up out that tomb. But early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. And I want you to know, when he got up, He ain't go back down no more. He rose up and ascended to be and to sit at the right hand of the Father. Because prior to Jesus, other folk were raised from the dead. But they went and died again. But Jesus is the only one that when he was resurrected, he ain't taste death no more. He kicked death to the curb. He told death, you might as well get to stepping because you don't have no power right here. So I want you to understand, we all going to leave this place. Either when Jesus cracked the sky or he come back and call us home. But we know for a fact we're going to live through eternity because we are connected with the one who is alive and will live through eternity. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody excited about Jesus today? So when we look at this, we are identified by who we associate with. We associate with someone who is a faithful witness. We associate with someone who is the firstborn from the dead. And we associate with someone who is the ruler of the kings of the earth. You see, angel, I want you to know that there's none greater than Jesus. There are some who can talk a good game, but can't nobody do like Jesus. Because don't you know, at Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And that's why he is the ruler of all the kings of the earth. So in essence, I want you to know, Jesus got it like that. And since we are defined by him, do you realize who we are? So as we look at this, since we are defined by who we associate with someone who is a faithful witness. We are associate with someone who is the firstborn from the dead. We are associated with someone who is the ruler of all the kings of the earth. So don't you know that whenever Jesus come around, everybody got to just go on and just bow down. Because they know that he's done stuff can't nobody else done before him or since. I want you to know that we serve a God who has all power in his hands, who's got the victory over death and the grave. And he has done great things, and he is still doing great things. And that's how come whenever we come in God's house, since we are defined by who we associate with, there's no way we gonna ever come here and act like a bump on the log. Violet, we got to praise him. We got to thank him because he's brought us a mighty long way. Do I got a witness in God's house? Has he been good to you? Has he brought you a mighty long way? We are defined by who we associate with. Now, remember Rhodes, he says, and lets us know who Jesus is. All right. Now, that's nice. But what has it done for me, Brother Botts? I'm glad you asked. You know what he's done for us? First and foremost, he loves us. You know how some folk will love you today and hate you tomorrow? I thank God that that ain't how Jesus operates.
Amen to
that. That once Jesus loves you, he loves you. And his love don't ever change. Jesus will never hate you. He's going to always love you. That's why he came to this earth, because he loved the entire world. He wants the world to know that there is a better way, that there is things that can happen. And he was showing us what love is. Love is action. So I thank God for Jesus, because through his love, he didn't just tell us he loved us. He showed us his love through his word. You see, Sister Rose, it's easy for your boo up here to tell you how much he loves you. He can say that 100 times. But the thing is, he can say it 100 times, but what does his action show? And I want you to know she's smiling right now, so that already tells me what the action shows. I want you to understand that anybody can say they love you, but what are they doing with what they say they have for you? You see, I am so thankful that Jesus loves us. And guess what he did? Because he loved us, you know what he did? He freed us. What did he do? Where did he free us from? From our sins. How did he free us? By his blood. You see, we have to understand that God loves us and he freed us from our sins by his blood. If that ain't love, you tell me what love is. You see, the Lord loved us so much. Deacon Emma, he saw us in a bad way. But he decided to give us a good way while we were still bad. You see, I want you to understand something. Love conquers all. And that's why he loved us. Because no matter what we have done, his love for us conquers all. Oh, why? Because he stretched his arms wide. And as that blood dripped from that cross, that same blood that dripped from him, that they thought was going to take the life out of him, was the same blood that gives us life today. That same blood that freed us from the bondage of sin. I want you to understand that that blood has the answer to whatever sin has you bound. That when you put your trust in Jesus, that sin can't hold on to you any longer, because that blood comes through and it breaks the chains of whatever has you bound. You know, and that's how come whenever the people of God come into God's house, we got to act like who we are. We are no longer walking around just making it, well, I'm just going from one day to the next. You got to know that I am a child of God who paid the ultimate price for me. He freed me from my sin. So whenever you come up in this place, as Sister Penn said, you ought to give him the praise because he's been mighty good to you. Has God been good to you? Has he freed you? Has he made a way for you? Somebody ought to say, hallelujah! So when we look at this, he says that through his love, he freed us from our sins by his blood. But he didn't just free us. We can't stop right there. Because if we stop right there, we ain't got the full picture. That's like asking somebody to make you a sandwich, but give you a piece of bread, but no meat in it. Oh, yeah, y'all got a hold of that one, didn't you? You gonna make me a sandwich, but where the meat? I don't see nothing but the bread. Where the meat? Where's the condiments? Where the lettuce, tomatoes, red onions, hot peppers? Where's it at? I don't see none of that. All I see is the bread. Phil, if you're going to make me a sandwich, you better make me a whole sandwich. So what I'm saying to you is that in order to get the whole sandwich, you got to go a little further. You want to go a little further with me? Because he says again, he loved us, he freed us from our sins by his blood. And what did he do? And, which means we're staying on the same street, but we're going to get a little bit better. And it says, and made us to be a kingdom of priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion. And I'm going to come and deal with the rest in a few minutes. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got to stop nickel and diming our God. Oh, Lord. Y'all didn't like that one too much because I ain't hear a whole lot of folk talk about it. We got to stop nickel and diming our God. See, now somebody just got lost because you think, oh, he's just all he's going to do right now, talk about money. Everybody go talk about money. It's bigger than money. Because if all you do is come to church on Sunday morning, all you are doing is... See, like I said, oh, Lord, see, like I said, angel, they ain't going with us, angel, they ain't going with us. Don't you know the worship of God is bigger than just being here at 8 o'clock service or 11 o'clock service. And even if you do double duty like Brother Alex, Deacon Alex has done today, there's still more to it than just coming to 8 and 11 o'clock service. I want you to understand that if you ain't going to nickel and dime God, you recognize that all that I have has come from the Lord. And it takes more for me to worship God than on a Sunday morning. I ought to be here during the week of times of Bible study. You know, I sing in the choir, but they rehearse during the week. And I ain't coming out to church on during the week. I don't know. I can Sunday morning. Nickel and diming our God. And then you wonder why you ain't getting nothing but nickel and dime blessings. If you ain't putting out much, then why should you expect a whole lot to come back? Then we wonder why folk in church have low self-esteem. We wonder why some folk aren't motivated to fix situations. Then we wonder why some folk are just focusing on what's wrong and can't see what's right. Because all we're doing is nickel and diming our God. When God wants more from you, he wants more from you so that he can give more to you. He can't show you more if all you want to do is hurry up and get there at 11 o'clock and then look at the watch, and when the pastor starts preaching, hit the stopwatch and say, okay, he got about a good 25 minutes. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to peep your whole card. I'm sorry. But are you working with me? You and I were made. You see, the Lord loved us. He freed us from our sins by his blood. Why? Because he made us to be a kingdom. What kind of kingdom? A kingdom of priests. To do what? Serve the Lord. You see, this really becomes significant if you understand the Jewish culture and what happened. Because at the temple at this time, the temple was made up of several courts. You see, the outer court was where the Gentiles could come. But so that means they couldn't get close to God. They could just wave at God from a. And then after the court of the Gentiles, you had the court of the Jewish women. And the Jewish women could get to their court but couldn't go no further. Had to stay there and just wave at God. And then you had the Jewish men who there was the next court. So if you were a Jewish man and you weren't a priest, you can come to the Jewish court, which was basically the court for the men, and be at a distance and just wave at God. But if you were a priest, Brother Eugene, you can get close to the inner court because that was the court where the priests were. But then all the priests had to stay there because there was a veil and they could just stand there and every year one priest was selected to go into the innermost before the Ark of the Covenant and bring the offering to God from the people for their sins. Yeah. And don't you know, once they would dress that priest up and he would have on his ephod and have all his adornments on, you know what they would do? They would take a rope and tie it around his waist. Yeah. Because once he went into the innermost, which means that he now goes behind the veil, and at the feet of his apron, there were bells, so you knew that he was still alive because the bells would be ringing. But if he went in there and did something wrong and God struck him down, you wouldn't hear the bells ringing no more. And they would grab the rope and they would drag him out. But nobody would go behind the veil. But I want to tell you about a Friday morning. How they took Jesus and they took him to Mount Calvary, Golgotha, the Mount of Skulls, and they nailed him on that cross, hung him on that cross, mocked him on that cross. And the last two expressions Jesus said was, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And then his head dropped. And then don't you know that God dispatched an angel over to the temple. And that angel had those holy scissors. And he cut that veil from the top to the bottom. And the veil was removed and opened to let the entire world know you no longer have to serve God from a distance. Everyone that accepts my son can come close and personal. Because I want you to know that when you accept my son, you now put yourself in a position that you're now part of a kingdom that is filled with a priesthood of individuals that can now come up close and get personal with God. And when God sees you, I want you to know he sees the blood you and I have been covered in, so that we can come into the Holy of Holies, because the Lord Jesus has made a way for you and I. So since he made a way for you and I, it is our job to serve the Father, because the Son was showing us how we ought to live our lives. Are you serving? Because if all you do is come on Sunday morning, you're just doing a nickel and dime. But are you really serving? There ought to be more to your relationship than just to be here on Sunday morning. God wants you to serve him to the utmost. Because hasn't the Lord done the utmost for us? Jesus didn't hold back anything from us. He gave his all for you and for I. So tell me, why do we think it's okay for you and I to just nickel and dime our God? The Lord wants more of us. And what the Lord was telling John to let the seven churches know, if you want to know who you are, then you are defined by who you associate with. You see, Jesus came and did all that he did for us because he recognized that we were living beneath our ability. But when you know that you're defined by who you are associated with, then you should no longer be living beneath your ability. But I want you to know something. If you are living beneath your ability, which means that you're nickel and diming yourself, when you come to church, you're going to do the same thing that you've done at home. You see, if I nickel and dime at home, when I get to church, I ain't going to do no better. If I have a small view of myself, when I come to the church, I'm going to have a small view of the church. And I can't see the church being no more than what it is right now. No matter how much that preacher stand up there and sweat, spit, holler, and preach, I can't see it no more than what it is because I've got a small view. You see, I want you to understand that when you are a child of God, I want you to know that the Lord wants you to spread your wings. The Lord wants you to stretch out and find out how high you can go. You see, let me give it to you in this analogy. You know, whenever I drive around Richmond, I know where I am. Because I know the roads, or I'm learning where I am. Even if I haven't been here all that long, but long enough to should know enough. But every time I fly in the airplane, and as we are descending down to Richmond, don't you know I got to look, because we're at such a high altitude, Reverend Rhodes, and I try to figure out where I am. And then I find a buildings downtown. And I said, okay, well yes, we're now we're on the east side, because that's where the airport is anyway. But we're on the east side of Henrico is where we're going to land. But then there are times, that's when you're coming and landing from the south. But when you come in landing from the north, you know, it's a different view. So I got to always figure out how we coming in and try to figure out where I am. But what I do and have learned that when I'm flying, God has given me the opportunity to see the city from a very different perspective. Whereas when I'm on the ground, I can see it in a small portion. But when I'm up in the air, I can see the entire city as I'm coming in. So what is that saying to us? That God wants you and I to change our view. And the only way you're going to change your view is when you know who has made you, who has blessed you, and how the Lord wants all of us to step up a little higher. And as you step up a little higher, the Lord's going to bless you and allow you to see things a whole lot bigger than how they are. Because if you got a small view of yourself, when you come to church, you're going to still have that small view. And if you have a small view, where's the church going? It's going to stay just like this. But what the Lord is saying to all of us, it's time for us to expand our view. But if you can't realize that the Lord has expanded your ability and has improved your self-esteem and wants you to be motivated and wants you to focus on the opportunity, that's the only way you're going to expand your view. And as you expand your view, then you can be, I can ask you the question, who are you? And you know what you'll say? Well, I'm somebody who loves the Lord. Yeah, that sounds nice. But it ought to be more than just somebody who just loves the Lord. You ought to really be willing to have a relationship with the Lord. When you understand all that the Lord has done for you, it will spill out into everything you do. Nicole, even when you come to church with an excitement because you know how good God has been to you. When you understand that you wouldn't be here right now unless the Lord had blessed you, then how are you going to sit here and act like ain't a whole lot happened to you? Just because you was here last Sunday wasn't no guarantee you was going to make it to this Sunday. And now that you're in God's house, you ought to thank and praise him for blessing you and brought you a little further. When the question is asked to you, who are you? The answer ought to be, I am a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am a child who the Lord has took from a nothing and made something with. I am someone who was lost and I have now been found. I might not be all that I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm striving every single day to do a little better, to be a little better. I want to be a witness for Jesus. He was a faithful witness for me. I want to be a faithful witness for him. I want to let folk know he delivered and healed me. And he washed my sin away through his blood. And if he did it for me, he can do it. You see, when you know who you are, can I work with you for a minute? When you know who you are, you understand that whenever you come in church, whenever you are serving the Father through the Son, and he has all glory and dominion every now and then. Huh? He only has dominion and glory on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, or Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. You telling me it's more than that? You mean to tell me you ain't trying to nickel and dime my God? You want to give God your whole? What that means is that it says that we got to give him the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So that means that whenever we come in this house, Deacon Diane, we going to thank him. We going to praise him. We're going to magnify his holy name because he's been mighty good to us. He's brought us a mighty long way. I am who I am because of who Jesus is. And if it had not been for Jesus, I don't know where I would be. Is that anybody else's testimony? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Has God been good to you? Is he blessing you right now? I don't know how you can sit down on him. If he has been good to you, you ought to thank him. You ought to praise him. Because I know who I am. Who are you? He's been good. You ain't got to sit back down. We're about to close out. He's been good. He's been good. He is good. But what I'm saying to you right now, before I give the invitation, I'm talking to the saints of God. How have you been with your relationship with God? Do you see yourself as somebody who has been living beneath your ability and your potential? But what you're saying is, today, Lord, no more. No more will I live beneath what you have for me. From this day forward, Lord, I'm going to move to be all that you're calling me to be. Lord, I ain't gonna lie, I'm a little scared. But that's okay. But Lord, I'm going to give it to you because I want to be more. I want to do more because I know that, Lord, you love me and you're going to bless me. Yeah. I'm not sure what tomorrow's going to hold, but I know you're going to hold me in that tomorrow. Yeah. So I'm talking to you right now, my brother. I'm talking to you right now, my sister. If I'm talking to you and you are saying that, Lord, I'm going to make that decision to transition, to be more, to move in my ability. If I'm talking to you, just come on to the altar. We're going to pray. Because what you're saying is that, Lord, I'm going to do better. I'm going to move forward. Don't look around. If you know you need to come, just come. Folk going to talk about you anyway. But if I'm talking to you, just come on and meet me at the altar. Come on and meet me at the altar saying, Lord, I'm going to move up. I'm going to do a little better. If I'm talking to you, come on today. If I'm talking to you, come on today. I'm going to be better. I'm going to do better. Come on today. It's all right. Don't look around. Just come on today. All you're saying is that, Lord, as my mother Austin always say, I don't put my sword in the sand. So today, I'm going to do better. Today, I'm going to be better. So if I'm talking to you, come on to the altar. We're going to have a special prayer for those who are going to come. Amen. Come on if you're going to come, though. And you know, Lord, we just bind up anything right now that's trying to hold them back. Just say, excuse me, and come. Amen. Just come on if I'm talking to you today. Come on if I'm talking to you today. What you were saying is, I know who I am, and I am going to move according to my blessings. Because I am blessed to be a blessing. So I'm saying if I'm talking to you, come on today. Come on today. I ain't going to do it much longer. Come on today. Come on today. If you need to come, come on today. Amen. Come on today. We're trusting Amen. God. Amen. We're saying, Lord, from this day forward, I'm going to be who I'm going to be. Come over here, my brother. Yeah. Come on over here and just grab a hand.
Yeah.
So wherever you are, just grab the person's hand next to you. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're just lifting up those brothers and sisters who've come forward, who have said that they will do their best and going to move forward. Lord, to live and to be the best that they can be in you.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we ain't going to nickel and dime you any longer. Because, Lord, you didn't nickel and dime us.
Thank you, Lord.
You gave your entire all for us. Yes. Lord, you paid the price that we couldn't pay. You paid the full price. Yes. You didn't nickel and dime us. So, Lord, we thank you for how you're showing us we will no longer nickel and dime you. And Lord, and as we say, we're going to step out, and Lord, and we're going to be better, and we're going to do better. Lord, we know you're going to bless
Thank
us.
You, Lord.
So Lord, I ask you to give a fresh anointing upon Thank everybody you, who is here at this altar right now. Anoint them and empower them. Thank guide you, them and direct them. Lord, let them know that you will see them through.
Lord.
No weapon formed against them shall prosper.
Lord.
Lord, you're going to bless them. You're Thank going to you, let them see how great their God is. And Lord, and how you're going to do a great thing in their lives because they made the decision this day to step out.
Yes, Lord.
Not concerned with what anybody gonna say, but step out.
Yes, Lord.
Because Lord, we understand that it don't matter what folks say about us. Because Lord, we got to be about our Father's business.
Yes, Lord.
So Lord, we just thank you for how you moved us and how you touched us and how you caused us not to stay where we were, but to come forward and to say, Lord, I'm going to grow. I'm going to get more involved. I'm going to do better. I'm going to be better.
Yes,
not
Lord.
Just through my wallet, Lord, but through my heart, through my spirit,
yes,
and being the full child of God you're calling me to be.
Yes.
No more nickel and diamond, but, Lord, giving you our full potential.
Yes,
so, Lord, touch them.
Thank you, Lord.
Empower them.
Thank you, Lord.
Enrich them.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, and as you bless them to overflow, Lord, you're going to take them to places where it's going to spill out into the lives of others.
Yeah.
So we just say thank you right now.
Thank you, Lord.
For how you're moving,
yeah,
how you're guiding,
yeah,
how you're directing.
Yeah.
So Lord, continue to order our steps,
yeah,
as we continue to make ourselves available to you.
Yeah.
And Lord, and as we do that, Lord, right now we just ask you to just wrap your loving heart and mind,
thank
Lord,
you,
around,
yeah,
them. And around their mind, because as they have made this decision today, the enemy is going to make the attempt to attack their mind.
Yeah.
But Lord, we ask that you cover their mind.
Yes, Lord.
Put a hedge around it.
Yes, Lord.
So that they don't leave this place feeling bad about what they've done. But Lord, feeling better and excited and inspired because they made this decision to come forward,
yes,
and say, Lord, I will no longer live beneath,
yes,
my ability.
Yes.
No more nickel and diming. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ,
Jesus,
we pray. And we all together said, hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Amen.
Those who are up here, hug somebody and say, no more nickel and diamond.